Welcome to episode 464 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Throughout the book of Acts, various questions are asked of or by the apostles. We've been exploring several of these questions and reflecting on answers for the past 2 weeks. We wrap up our study of these questions today. Acts 16, verses 30 to 31. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." This question is asked by a Philippian jailer after he discovers that Paul and Silas had remained in their jail cells after an earthquake had opened the doors to those cells and freed their shackles. This jailer was impressed by the two Christian missionaries, by the love they showed to him, and from their ability to take joy even in misery. So much so that he wanted the kind of life that Paul and Silas had. He was jealous of two prisoners. This is how God wants our lives to be: natural magnets drawing people to him. Our Christianity should make others want what we have with God. Acts 17, verses 18 to 19. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" The Epicureans pursued pleasure as a chief purpose in life, and valued most of all the pleasure of a peaceful life, free from pain, disturbing passions, and superstitious fears, including the fear of death. They did not deny the existence of gods, but believed that they had nothing to do with human beings. The Stoics believed that everything was God, and God was in everything. So they believed that all things, good or evil, were from God, and so nothing should be resisted, and they believed that there was no particular direction or destiny for mankind. Some mocked Paul because he did not speak with the philosophical niceties popular in Athens. Note that some suggested that he was a babbler. Others thought that he was preaching about foreign gods who had no relevance for them. Though Paul spoke in a different place, to a different audience, his message did not change in Athens. He focused on Jesus and the resurrection. Paul didn't preach a soft gospel. He boldly confronted the wrong ideas the Athenians had about God, and confronted them with the reality of a coming judgment. Acts 19, verses 1 to 6. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Apparently, there was something about these disciples that prompted this question from Paul. We don't have any indication that it was his custom to ask people if they had received the Holy Spirit when they believed. By their reply, these Ephesian disciples show they didn't know much about God's nature as revealed in Jesus. They knew enough to be saved and to be students of Jesus. They were called disciples, but they didn't know much about all Jesus did for us, especially in his promise to send the Holy Spirit when he ascended to heaven. One can imagine that these Ephesian disciples heard about the coming of the Messiah through John the Baptist's message, and they heard their need to be ready through repentance to receive the Messiah. yet they actually did not seem to have heard that the Messiah had in fact come and had not heard of their need to trust in his specific person and work. Acts 19 verse 15, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? God was performing extraordinary miracles through Paul. These apostolic miracles were to substantiate Paul's message. Some of these miracles involved casting out demons from those who were possessed. There were some religious charlatans in Ephesus who pretended to have special miracle-working powers. Sceva, who is identified as a Jewish chief priest, had 7 sons who went around driving out evil spirits. Seeing the success that Paul had in exorcising demons, the 7 sons of Sceva began using a new formula invoking the name of Jesus. They would say to the demon, "In the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." This ploy of Sceva's sons backfired one day. A demon they were trying to cast out refused, saying, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" The demon then turned on them viciously. Demon-possessed man jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. There are many people, indeed many churchgoers, who will be eternally lost because they have no personal relationship with Jesus. They only know the Jesus the pastor preaches, or the Jesus my mom or my spouse believes in, rather than the Jesus of their own salvation. Acts 23 verse 3, then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Are you sitting to judge me according to the law, and yet contrary to the law you order me to be struck?" Paul here exposes the hypocrisy of the man who commanded that he be struck. When Paul confronted him, the apostle was unaware that the man was the high priest, Ananias. Upon finding out, Paul concedes that it was wrong for him to speak evil of a ruler of your people. But the point can still be made that what the man did, high priest or not, was hypocritical. Acts 26 verses 27 to 28. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul didn't first ask Agrippa if he believed in Jesus. He asked, "Do you believe the prophets?" Paul did this because he knew that if Agrippa did believe the prophets, truth and reason would lead him to believe in Jesus. He wanted to connect what Agrippa already believed to what he should believe. With this, Paul brought the challenge and a point of decision directly to Agrippa. This is a good and often necessary part of the presentation of the message of who Jesus is and what he did for us, calling the listener to make a decision. Of course, almost being a Christian means that you almost have eternal life and will almost be delivered from the judgment. But almost isn't enough. Far from being admired for how far he did come, Agrippa condemned himself even more by admitting how close he had come to the gospel and how clearly he had understood it while still rejecting it. There we have it. 6 sets of questions taken from the book of Acts. Questions that it would do well for each of us to contemplate in our private devotions. Father, thank you for the lessons we learn from reflecting on your word. Give us wisdom and discernment to understand your will. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.